Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are sipping on the Federalist Cab Sav. So I know we said that we were going to try to get...
We lied. Okay, the answer is we lied because we still like red wine. Give us a break, y'all.
So we said that we were going to try to get some more whites and rosés in the mix. But full disclosure... Sheree and I are actually recording in person, and I have not gone to the liquor store yet, so this was the only wine I had on hand.
And funny enough, this is one that we were previously going to record with, and I happen to drink mine at home, so I'm glad that we are doing this one.
Yeah, we never actually got around to it, but so, like I said, it's the Federalist, it's a Cab Sav, and it says that it has, it'll quench your thirst for blackberry, cinnamon spice, and American craftsmanship. Yeah, that's marketing for you. And so...
Y'all, if you look at the bottle, it has Ben Franklin on it, okay? So this is real, like it's a patriotic.
It's a full-bodied with hints of black cherry and whatever a case this is. And I'm pretty sure we've looked that up before. And I think it's just another type of berry.
What is it again?
This one. C-A-S-S.
Cases?
Yeah, I think it's a type of berry. We looked it up before. And so it says like it's a 15 month aged wine. So that's pretty impressive, I guess. But it is Sasha and Shorty's approved because it's 14.9%. So what do you think of it?
I mean, I like it, to be honest. It doesn't make me pucker my mouth and it doesn't make me have the ugly face. So I'm okay with this.
Well, you know, I like a Cab Sav. So Cyrus, who is our guest today, along with another guest. Y'all know Cyrus very well. You know, I never can call him by his right name, Brandon. He is joining us today. We'll get into the topic in a second. But I did offer him to drink a white or a rosé, and he decided he wanted to drink a red with us. So
yeah, I decided to join the group. And you know what? It's not too bad. I like it.
Because you don't really like reds either.
I don't like wine.
Oh.
But this is good. I could drink this. Now, this is going to, I can't drink it like I normally drink stuff because this will get me wine drunk. And that's a whole different type of drunk.
It is, because this is, again, 14.9%. So, yeah, drink slowly because if you don't drink wine, you ain't used to it. And before we introduce our other guest, I'm going to talk about the wine that he is drinking as well because this is a fancy wine, y'all. Mm-hmm. We haven't had this wine. But now we definitely have to have it on the show at some point. Apparently, D Wade from he still plays.
Yeah,
not he's retired. Okay.
So I got you.
Yeah, Sasha, not into sports.
I know who.
So everyone knows who Dwayne Wade is. If you don't, he was a player for the Miami Heat. Okay,
that's
so there
what
you go.
I was gonna go for. Yeah. I knew the team.
Yeah, you just said you just.
What's his wife's name?
Gabrielle Union.
There you go.
Yeah. So basically, he has a wine.
Yeah, and it's called Three by Wade, and it's a Cab Sav. So this one says that it is filled with dried violets, which I don't think we've had. I don't think we've had a flower in any of our wines.
We have, because I said there's no way, but I can't remember what the flower was.
Okay, well this one is dried violets and ripe blackberries, and it also says that it's full bodied, and it's framed with a tannic structure. So we're not sure if Sheree's actually gonna like it because you know y'all know she don't like the tannins.
What I will say, based on what this description is, I'm gonna have to know what our guest thinks because it's. Says, think of a fresh cigar box. This is really like a manly descriptive forward wine.
Do you remember that one that we had that was real? That was real, like whiskey.
The one that gave you whiskey vibes.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. So
I'll let you, Cyrus. You can introduce our guest first, and then you can tell us what you think about the wine.
All right. I had to bring in some reinforcements.
It's not that type of episode. I don't even know why you had to say reinforcements.
You know,
gave him the opportunity to do the introduction, so this is on you now.
So I brought in a good friend of mine, Eugene Tyrell Fields. We known each other almost 15 plus years, going back to his freshman year, my sophomore year at North Carolina A&T.
The illustrious, as Sheree.
I wanted to keep it.
North Carolina Agricultural and Technical University.
And then not only that, we are also fraternity brothers. We are a part of the same chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi, where we're both been in leadership positions and everything. And so with me having a son that's 3 years old and he has a son that's about to be a year old.
Oh, you have a brand new baby.
So, that's why we said, you know what, for this topic, I thought bringing somebody else who has a different perspective.
Okay, well, before we get into the topic, what do you think about the wine?
I love this wine. You know, this is, you know, like you all mentioned, I wouldn't say it's like a manly wine. Like you can drink this wine if you're smoking a cigar. You could drink this wine if you're eating a steak. I mean, this is one of my favorite wines, and I can't wait to send one bottle to you all so you all could try it yourself.
We're excited about it.
We've never had a guest send us a bottle.
We have not had a guest send us a bottle. But today's topic. So today we wanted to talk about, and this is actually going to be a two-part episode. We wanted to talk about what it is like, our hopes, fears, dreams, wishes for raising Black sons in this country. And y'all know Sheree and I, of course, yes, and obviously Sheree and Cyrus have, like Cyrus mentioned, we both have 3-year-old boys. And I guess I'm gonna call you Tyrell because that's gonna flow off of my mouth easier. You have a nice brand new baby. And so we wanted to get a guy's perspective on what it's like having a son. And I'm going to actually start with you, Tyrell, because you have a brand new baby. Like we're in it.
Yeah, we talk. Yeah, but
he's not new to the parent game, though.
You're not new to the parent game. But so when you found out that you were having a boy, what were those feelings like? Like, were you happy? Were you nervous? Were you scared? Like, because you're obviously a Black man in this country, too. So did any of that come into your head? Like, how did you feel when you found out you were having a son?
When I found out, I was like super excited, you know, because I think every man wants to have, you know, a son to keep the legacy going on. Yeah. So I'm like, if I have a son, I'm already going to name him Eugene Tyrell Fields Jr. So it is what it is. There's no argument against that. Granted, I am a girl dad full through and through, but for me, I love my daughter. But when I have a son, it was like, yes, the legacy can continue on. It immediately switched to like fear, because then it's like, I'm excited, but then I'm like, wow, he's growing up in this world that is so uncertain, so crazy. And how do I prepare him for something that, you know, shit could just pop off at any moment.
Yeah.
As we've seen.
Yeah.
What about you, Cyrus?
I was the same way because, like I said in previous cast, I was just like, ooh, I wanted a daughter to do those.
You wanted to paint your nails? Because this is a complete side note. I got our friend, Rashawn, his daughter. We bought him a nail painting kit. And I was like, you know, that means you're getting your nails painted.
Oh, absolutely. It comes with it.
It comes with the girl.
Yeah, so all that.
So that's why I was one of that. But then when I had a son, I was like, all right, you know, the legacy and everything. But then I was just like, it's going to be tough to raise them in this mindset. And then, because what's interesting, I didn't think about it, a week after Brendan was born is when Charlottesville happened. And it was just like, yo, this only a weekend. I don't know how to prepare this. I ain't never had to live through this. I lived through snipers, 9/11. I ain't never prepared for people who trying real life racists.
Like out the closet racists.
Like full 1960s racists. I never had to live through that. So I ain't know how to explain that or deal with that. So that's where it was like, yo, I really have to change my parenting skills and thinking, because my father didn't have to deal with that. So he didn't have to teach me.
He definitely did have to deal with that.
No. Because he was born in 59. By the time he was a teenager, it was in the 70s. So it was more integrated. He didn't have to deal with the full on.
Oh, he didn't have to deal with like Jim Crow Crow.
No.
He dealt with Jim Crow Jr.
He dealt with, yeah, James Crow. He didn't have to deal with Jim Crow. He dealt with James Crow.
No, I got you. Because you remember, my parents are older than all of y'all's parents. So my dad.
Were your parents marching?
Yes. My aunt was at the March on Washington.
It's just so old.
My aunt was. But no, my parents are old. And so, like, they remember full-fledged racism. So for them, they're looking at everything going on, and they're just like, it's so sad that we're still going through this. And that's the reason why I was like, I didn't understand my dad. Like, I truly didn't understand, like, the reasons he would be so prejudiced. Because, I mean, he knew racism, no. But he was prejudiced, and I was like, sir, you raised us better than this. And then now, today, I'm like, no, I get it. I get it.
Why are you furrowing your eyebrows?
She said, you don't know what, your father was raised in the deep.
But she said,
us differently.
Yeah, you raised your child to be better than you. Don't mean you gonna change.
Well, that's just,
that's the goal.
Think about it. Just like how these white kids are turning parents in.
Oh, I'm here for it.
They are raising their kids better than them, when it just so happened. Like when we was in high school.
Let me ask you this, though, and I'll ask both of you guys, because in, like, now, you know, the world is changing. There's a whole, like, Me Too movement and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's also this thing, and we've talked about it on the show before, about, like, toxic masculinity, teaching our boys that it's okay to have feelings. Like, it's okay to, like, show that you're vulnerable and cry, and you don't have to be, like, this man and, like, tough it up all the time. And I know for a fact, like, probably you growing up, and I know my dad was probably the same way. You know, if you cry or something like that, it was like, you don't cry. Like, you know, man up. Like, you're a boy. You don't do those things. Like, do you plan on, what do you plan on doing for your sons?
I do let him cry, but I let him have his moment, but then I tell him shake it off or whatever. Like, every time he falls, I'm not picking him up. I'm still doing that.
So you don't deal with whining?
Yeah. You got to have your emotions. I'm letting him develop emotionally, but you know, sometimes life is tough, so you gotta deal with it.
I say that to Stokely all the time.
I was gonna say, I don't like whining. Yeah, Tyrell, what about you?
I mean, for me, you know, at 10 months old, yes, I didn't know how to communicate, but going into the future, I think, like what Cyrus said, you gotta let them have their moment, because you do want them to have some emotion. You know, you don't want to raise or build up a generation of young men who are just emotionless or don't know how to express themselves. And you have to allow that opportunity to be there. But I think there is a thin line between, you know, what's going too far and what's not. But definitely allowing them to voice their opinions, their feelings, and handling it that way. So,
yeah, I think that makes sense, though, because I think a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of what we see from young men and boys nowadays is like this all this pent up anger and rage that they don't know how to communicate with, because they were always told, you know, you just shut that shit down. Like, you, whatever you are feeling, push it in, and you're not allowed to express yourself. You're not allowed to have like strong emotions about something. Like
you could be angry.
That's what I was about to say. The only emotion that men are allowed to have is anger. Like, you can be mad, or you can be loud and boisterous and show that something affects you that way. But any other emotion, y'all just aren't allowed to have.
And I think me being aware of it, granted, because my wife is a social worker, psychologist, so she psychoanalyzes.
I really like how he just referred to me as his wife. Like, I don't have a name, though. Like, did he unname me?
Just, like, psychoanalyze me. She'd be like, so, tell me how this feels, and try to break me down. And it's like, no, can I just have my anger? So after so many years of that, you know, I'm getting in touch with my emotional
self. No, you can't just have your anger. I've told you that, too.
Tyrell, what do you say?
I say, I'm the same way. For me, I think, you know, Cyrus, us growing up, we weren't really able to really express our emotions or anything like that. It was like, you know, get up, shake it off, and keep it pushing. So now it's like we're in charge of raising a generation of young men who can be vulnerable and can
express
their feelings, you know, because the first thing you say when you get into a relationship, ladies always like, oh, they don't communicate. They don't know how to express their feelings. And We got to kind of
big facts,
that, right? You know, we got to combat that. I mean, I get that all the time from my wife. You don't want to express your feelings, or you're going to tell me how you feel. So, you know, we got to change the narrative there.
That's why I said That's why I tell Sheree all the time, man, we could get all men, all relations, all age, we can have the same discussion because we all say get told the same thing.
Because y'all don't know how good. To yeah I but I but I will I don't think that it's all just like your fault, like not you specifically, but like men specifically.
No, it's a society thing.
Yeah, I think it's society, and I think it's how you guys are raised, like especially for men of color. Like I know, like my dad, and I'm sure black men and too. Like you're not, you know, you always have to be the strong black person. Mm-hmm. You can't be out here letting these white folks know that anything that they say bothers you, and that goes all the way back from Jim Crow eras, James Crow eras.
That's the reason. Like looking at my brother and my father, they would bump heads and everything like that. I remember seeing them. My brother would have an argument with my dad or something, like they about to go at it, and you know, whatever, yelling, screaming, and all this, and he would blow up everything like that and just ranting and raving, and my mom would be like, you know what, it's time for you to get out, you know, and he would still be ranting and raving, and I was just like, why don't you shut up? But my mom, when he would leave, finally she was like, I'm glad he got that out. And I said, huh? And she was like, because he does not need to take that kind of anger that he had out to the street and get hurt. What? And I was like, how is it that even in the wherewithal, like, they okay with, like, nah, go on and get it out because you're going to get yourself killed with that kind of attitude in the street.
It is. Code switching is all of that, because you have really, for, I would say, not only black men, but men of color, the only place they could be their fully selves is their house.
Their home. It's their home.
And not the barbershop? Because, you know. Tyrell, I'm sorry. Brandon believes that.
I think that might be the only other.
I was thinking that's the other place.
Because Brandon continuously tells me that the barbershop is the oldest relationship he's ever had.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not cheating on my barber, man.
You can't cheat on your barber. When you find a good one, you get down for life.
My husband is the same way. I think he actually, this is a complete tangent. He has a barber that's older. And there's a younger guy at the shop who apparently he likes better. Like he wishes that he could go to. And so when his friend was looking for a barber, because he's from Philly, he was telling him, he was like, oh, well, you can go to my shop, but ask for the young dude. Yeah. Because like I think the dude's name is Craig. I think his barber is Craig. He was like, Craig is good, but he's just like old. Mm. And he was like, he can't like.
He's like, I can't leave him, man.
I'm sorry. My barber, my dad. His father cut my dad's hair. That's how I got introduced to him.
The barbershop I go to is the same shop my dad goes to. My dad still goes there, you know.
That's what I'm saying. You can't. They get you just right. That's another hit. But that's the story about raising black men boys. Once you find a barber, stick with that barber. Let them create that relationship right there.
Exactly. That's where it starts.
So, ladies, I just want us to make sure we hear that there is no issue with commitment, okay? Every time a man says, we have commitment issues, no, they don't, because ask them how long they've been going to their barber, and there you go. Their whole defense crumbles.
Or, ladies, if you could line them up real nice, you may got them for life. You never know. Think about that. Skills.
I think Stokely's kind of go to Lisa, so I don't know if he, I mean, at some point he'll go to a barber, but
we considered that too, because we looked at Brendan's hair, and as you see Brandon's hair right now, their barber still hasn't come back, so yeah. We're gonna have to do something.
So I do have this question, and so Tyrell, I've never seen your son, so I don't know what he looks like, but obviously my son, he's an Afro-Latino, like I'm Puerto Rican, my husband is black, and Stokely is my color, like he might be.
He looks a lot more Emilio than he does.
And during the summer, I've already noticed during the summer he does turn slightly caramel. Like he could, he is gonna be caramel during the summer.
Okay.
But y'all have a brown baby. Mm-hmm. Y'all have like a chocolate baby, and so there is I know that Stokely will always be looked at as a brown man. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's a difference between how he will be viewed versus how Brendan will be viewed, because Brendan is chocolate.
It goes into colorism. It is colorism, but it's more so I fear for him how he's viewed out in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because for me, like, one thing that really opened my eyes was Trayvon Martin.
Yep.
When he was going to the 7-Eleven to get Skittles and iced tea, and he died, I was like, people was asked, the main thing, they was like, he was wearing a hoodie. I was like, you know how many times I wear a hoodie?
That is your uniform.
I wear a hoodie. And it was raining then, so.
Tyrell actually has on a hoodie, and Cyrus has on a hoodie right now.
So that's what I'm saying. And that's why I said, growing up, how many times I've walked to the 7-Eleven to get something and walked back and never thought in my life I would never make it back home or get into an incident. And so that's why I really think about, like, his skin.
I think some of that also is just where we live.
It
I
is.
I think that plays
yeah,
into
that
it.
Does. But, yeah. What do you say?
I mean, it's the neighborhood his father lived in. But to your point, I think it is how society looks at you, regardless of how deep your skin complexion or tones are, whether you're like a Tamir Rice or a Trayvon Martin to a George Floyd. We've seen on countless occasions, it just doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
I mean, if your skin is not white, you're liable to get it.
Well, and because I think, you know, I've read about this, and I think we've definitely talked about this. Mm-hmm. There comes an age for little black boys where they are no longer looked at as cute. Like, they go from being cute to being viewed as threats.
And older,
it's early. Like, it's super early. Whereas, and we see this on the news, because take the guy, Kyle Richardson, whatever his last name is, the dude who...
Kyle Richardson.
There we go. Who shot up the protester.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is now about to get locked up again because he was out here flashing white power signs in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Right after his bail,
he shouldn't even got out. But
right after his bail, he's out here drinking with the Proud Boys and flashing white power signs.
His mother drove him.
Yes, but the media will look at him and say he's a child. He's 18, but he's a child. Versus somebody like Trayvon Martin or Tamir Rice, who they're an adult or they're like grown.
He looked like he had to be 16. I'm like, he was 10.
And 16 is still a child.
And 16 is still a child.
I got one better. How about the guy that had the horns? They talked to him.
Oh, and they let him have his vegan diet in jail?
They did.
What?
He got dinners in jail. Where did they do that at?
But then, remember, he's like 30-something.
His mom.
That's what I said. And I'm like,
ladies, no matter what your complexion is, if you are white or a woman of color, do not be the woman who is advocating for your 30-year-old man child who is committing treasonous acts against the country felonies. Do not advocate for his vegan diet.
Gave him his little diet. This is the first time I'm hearing this.
First of all, since we talk about raising, make sure if he's back in your house. It has to be some extreme circumstances that he's in your house.
We were going to talk about that as well. See, here's the thing. Actually, that brings up my question. So my question is, are there lessons that you learned from your fathers that you want to pass on or that you want to change? And I think about it like what you just said. I don't know if I completely agree. So we'll get into that in our part of it. But like kicking the kids out and like, you know, as soon as they're like 18.
Yeah, because that's definitely a person of color thing. Like, you're 18, you're grown.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be paying bills, paying rent.
And that's,
like,
that's
something.
Literally a person of color thing,
I think it's a specific, almost a black person thing, because there are other communities of color, like Asian communities and things like that, where you are allowed to stay home and do things like build your life up before you are kicked out into the world, because they're like, let's get you on the right footing
so that you ain't got to come back.
Yes.
Well, see, this is the thing.
Because
I got the 18, you either go to the military, job, or college.
I was told the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, when you turn 18, we got to have a plan, because you're just not going to sit around the house. Now, if you're going to figure out a way to, we get to sit down and discuss how we're going to maneuver you, but you're going to eventually make your way out the house. You can't come back if there's a step back or anything. I'm not going to let you be out on the cold, but we're going to also, I'm going to mature you. Because if I don't mature you and I let you stay in my house, I have failed you as a father. I have a job as a father. To me, you have two jobs. If you got a daughter, keep off the pole. And if you have a son.
First of all.
And if you have a son, keep him off the corner.
First of all. I'm going to let Tyrell answer this question too. But first of all, if your daughter is on the poll, I just want to say that you have not failed as a father. There are other reasons why a woman could decide to go into that profession.
And Sasha, I just want you to know that as talking to two men, I guarantee.
I know y'all like going to look at it that way. I know that y'all are going to look at it that way. But I do want to say.
I understand the woman empowerment from that standpoint. From as a father?
Go ahead, Tyrell.
I'm not going to comment on that one. My daughter would choose a different route. But I get it. There's other reasons why ladies decide to do that. And hey, I'm all for it.
Now, the lessons that you've had that you want to pass on, or if you want to do it differently than your dad.
Yeah, some lessons that I would pass on is definitely work ethic. And I would hope to instill that into my son that, you know, whatever you want in life, if you work hard enough, you'd be able to achieve it and obtain it. Also, you know, to Cyrus's point, or to the point that you all mentioned, I think one thing that I took from my father is, you know, when I graduated school, when we came out of school, it was like 2009, 2010, the economy was just straight trash. You couldn't find a job. Like,
definitely.
I had job offers that were on the table. And then when the banks crashed and everything failed, job offers off the table, I had nowhere else to go. And my parents, you know, let me come back home, didn't have to pay rent, was able to save up and eventually kind of move on from there. And I think that was a huge help. I think for Black folks, we really have to understand the value of community. You know, That's true. Look at other races, they're all big on community building. You know, Black folks is like, you got to grow up and get out and go on your own. And next thing you know, we struggle so hard, right? Instead of taking that extra time. And everybody I tell, I'm like, look, you staying at home with your parents? Are they charging you rent? Are they charging you anything? If not, stay there as long as you can.
Yes.
I understand the rush and the need to kind of get out and do your own thing, but shit is real when you get out here.
Yes.
Bills come every month. They
like they just don't stop.
They keep coming. Like, if you don't have to pay them, why incur all that? You don't
just to prove a point.
Just to prove a point to who? Like,
I think a lot of that, though, when it comes to communities of color, and especially Black communities, I think that mentality comes from the fact that back in Jim Crow days, back in slavery days, y'all's families were broken apart. And so it was ingrained that you're not going to be raising your kids, because half the time your kids were taken from you. And, you know, men were separated. And so it was always on the
allowed to be in the house. They
weren't allowed to be in the house. It fell on the woman to raise whatever kid they had. And then those kids were taken from them. So from like a historical society perspective, it makes sense that that's the mentality that the Black community has. I mean, in Spanish community, it's not like that. Like, my family did say that, you know, it was, you know, military, college, or job, but it was never like, you're an adult, you have to leave the house. Like, my cousins have lived with us on and off ever since I was kids. My aunt lives with my mom right now. Like, when we get older, it's almost a tradition that you, grandma, your abuela, your abuelita is living with you. Like, that the family unit is so very different.
That's the only thing that I will say is very similar with Black and brown. Like, when it comes to the older people, we do take care of the older.
They can move.
They come in, and it's not only just your grandmother. It could be your aunt. It could be the cousin. So growing up, I experienced that same thing where I was able to come back home, and my brother as well. Like, until it was just like, okay, so what you doing? Like, at some point, like Brandon said, the maturity of, okay, so you grown now. Like, at this point, like at
what's
this
the plan?
Point, you grown. Like,
you don't have a plan.
Yeah, and that is a very important thing. So I do understand what you're talking about the work ethic and things like that. I always think of, like, the fear of once that kid is out of your house, like, you can't control what your child does outside of, you know, now. And I think of, I'm going to give y'all this example that I saw, and we were talking about it at your house, at your mom's house. LeBron James's son.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, like, they were like, oh, he was caught smoking weed, and what should he do, and, you know, and this and this and that. And I was like, I mean, he's a teenager.
The only difference,
what is LeBron supposed to do?
The only difference that happened in that situation is between LeBron and me is he recorded, Bronny recorded it. I didn't have the access to technology to record it. It is strongly possibility if I did,
you would have been recorded. Yeah.
So therefore, that's why I say it's all about that.
I think what it really boils down to is we need to teach our children, do not record the dumb shit that you do.
It is so much better to talk about it than to actually see it.
Because we're in a prove me, we're in a prove it society. We are a show me society. It ain't happen if you didn't record it. What? That's a crime. Sorry, sir.
Exactly. How you think all them people getting caught that stormed the Capitol? All
them I'm here for it. I'm like, y'all, they're
stupid. Like,
idiots. It's like, y'all wanted so much to just show the world that y'all are here,
that y'all just set y'all's own self up, because really all
it's a revolution.
All the prosecutors have to say is,
this is you,
this is him on camera right here, judge, and that's it. Like,
and the thing is that that's the one thing
about it.
What were y'all taught about the law growing up? And what, because I think that's another thing that goes into what do you teach, just like we were talking about.
Because I know every person of color was watching what happened last Wednesday, and we weren't surprised. We were kind of just sitting there like, oh, these white folks is crazy. We figured they were going to do this.
And then we were like, so they obviously, they're getting ready to shoot them or something.
Because I'm not going to lie. I saw a meme, and it was like, you know, all these people out here watching the people storm the Capitol, and they just sitting there going, and then I'm the person who would be like, just shoot them, because that was me. Like, when people were coming in through the window, and I don't wish death on people, like, but I was also like,
no, rubber bullets.
This
exist.
Is when I'm you like, shoot so them. This is
well,
when.
Well, that's well, that
so
was.
What
the...
is it that y'all learned about the law, and like in terms of raising, being black men, and being going having the task of raising black men? I know that if you grew up in the D.C. area, I'm pretty sure everyone had a very good working knowledge of the law. I don't know why. I think it's just because we knew what was the line, and we didn't want jail.
This is what you do in D.C. Like, this is what you don't do in Virginia.
Well, and you knew, especially Virginia.
I think it's that being in this area, we're in a unique situation where we have not only state laws, city laws, but you have to know the federal laws.
Yeah.
You got to know all of that, and then you got to know the different jurisdictions, and you got to know, hey, these the ones you could test the line with, and these the ones you don't. The other thing is, us growing up, we're children of the 80s. And especially from us in D.C., we came out of that crack epidemic era. And one thing I've been thinking about lately is my father raised me a little bit harder and harsher because he didn't want no chance of me going out and hanging out on the corners. Not because he thought I was bad, or just by circumstances being caught up by
idle time. It's the wrong, you being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong crowd.
And exactly. And the thing about it is, what I realized it is he doing prison ministry. A lot of those kids, one of the guys from my church is in it because wrong place at the wrong time, and then knowing the legal system. So it's kind of one of those, I get why he did it now as a father. But as a child, I was like, yo, he is so strict and harsh, because it's just so, it doesn't make sense.
What do you think is the age that you have that conversation with your kid about the, like, yes, sir, no, sir?
Immediately. I feel like you got to do it as soon as possible.
Yes.
You know, for me, my father, we really didn't talk much legal stuff. We of course, had the conversation when I started driving about, you know, put your hands on the steering wheel and say yes sir, yes ma'am, whenever you know you get pulled over, because that's inevitable. You're going to get pulled over by a police officer.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that is just a sad thing that is true.
Exactly. Like, even now I still get pulled over, like, on bullshit type stuff. So I think for me, I'm going to have to really take a deep dive when I talk to my son about the law, of course, about what you do when you get pulled over by police, but also just interacting with them. Like,
yeah, and I see, like, we, and Sheree and I are going to talk about this on next week's episode. My husband's a police officer, but he's a black police officer. And so having that conversation with him, like Stokely, about not every cop is like your daddy. Like, they're not going to be like your daddy, and they're not going to treat you like all the other cops that you know, because those are daddy's friends. Like, it's going to be different. What I worry about with Stokely is that now that we out here in Anne Arundel County, that you're going to get caught up with all your white friends.
You don't know this, but Sasha used to live in Bowie and, you know, grew
she
up in
tell
Clinton.
I sound from
but no, no,
PG.
No. Yeah, you definitely PG.
Hey, I'm now with it. I grew up in Bowie. My parents.
No, no, no. She grew up in Bowie. She grew up in that area, but I now she done went. You grew up in Clinton, but now she's like out by the water. She done moved on up like
she got a house on the water.
Yeah. So she's out in a place where like
they do duck hunting.
They do exactly.
I just found that out.
She has a dock on the back of her house. So I'm just saying she's getting ready to grow. Her child is about to grow up with a lot of white friends. We just know this to be true.
And it's I'm gonna be honest, it's also like cause then coming out of it they had DC NBD had like the band and then they had Officer Friendly trying to get with that, and some of that I had that okay, all police officers ain't bad, and it wasn't until I got to those, and it's that age you said when you no longer looked as cute but as a threat.
Yeah.
When I'm just walking down the street and then the cops rolling past, what are you doing? I am walking to the store.
Yeah.
Or me and my boys we're hanging out playing basketball, and then some of the neighbors have issues because
y'all are too loud.
Yes.
Y'all are laughing too loud.
Or you happen to be going, driving through, like, I'm sorry, the story you tell about driving through taking a shortcut to campus.
Were you there at Marcus's house with the helicopter that one day?
No, I wasn't there for the helicopter.
Yeah, so this happened when we were in high school, that we were all outside in high school bullshitting at like the playground that was behind his house.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, somebody, I guess I called the cops because we were loud, laughing too loud, and they legit had a helicopter that was searching spotlight, and we ran. Legit ran.
my all time favorite incident of being pulled over by the cops. I'm at A&T.
Hang on, you got a favorite incident of being pulled over?
Oh yeah, I get pulled over.
Like, you know, there's one
that drive coming.
Yeah,
there is
nothing favorite about being pulled over, man.
Well, it was favorite because it was just so like
it was so ignorant and so ludicrous. You're like, what?
So it was after the event. And my apartment was a block or two away from campus. And it was the main, but it was some event. So that main strip was blocked off. So I know all the back ways to get to my apartment. I'm going through the back way. Now, the back way is a sketchier neighborhood in Greensboro.
You know the hoods that was right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's say there was some women out there trying to make some money.
Empowered women.
No judgment. I had an older car. I had a 92 Buick LeSabre at that time down there.
That's where she used to get pulled over all the time at his grand marquee.
Okay.
So I get pulled over and they said, what are you doing? They had my license and registration. I said, I'm going to my apartment. As you can see, that traffic is blocked off here. So I decided to take the back way, officer. As you can see, I'm coming from campus because my book bag has the big A&T logo on it. You see my outfit as the equipment.
Like, what is it that you think I'm doing, sir?
Do you know what's going on back here? Yes, I do know what's going back here.
But that's why I'm trying to leave.
I'm trying to hurry up and go here. I don't want to be seen through here.
You thought she was trying to pick up an empowered woman?
Yes. You're supposed to say, no, I don't know what's going on. You got to play dumb with them.
I know. You're supposed to be like, no, I don't know what these women are doing out here.
About.
But the thing is that Brandon has tried that before, and it doesn't work out in his favor.
So I was just like, yes, I know what's going on here. That's why you see me going. As you can see, my license, if you could put it in your system, you see I'm only 2 turns and I'm home.
Because at this point, you actually had an ID. I was living
North Carolina ID and everything.
Man.
And so they said, well, and the thing is, they didn't like it because what I was told when being pulled over is have your hands outside the windshield, open your glove compartment, license registration on the...
Oh, you was too ready for
it. Oh, you did all of that.
And they were like, oh, you have something. You're too prepared. There must be something here.
Yes. Like, yes, and that's the thing. You get offended where they're like, well, why you do all that? Do you see what you're doing to me?
And so they said, well, we're going to have to call the drug.
They had the dog. Did they have the dog come
back? No, they was like, we're going to search your car. I was like, for what, officer? Books. It's sound equipment.
Brandon, hang on. They said, we're going to search your car. They didn't even ask you?
You could have said no.
Oh, he did.
No, I was like, for that, he said, well, since there's illicit activity back here and you're back here, we're going to have to do that. And I was like, well, don't you need like a warrant or something like that? Well, if you don't come out and let us search it, we're going to call the dogs out here. Go ahead, call the dog.
They tried to intimidate you, man. They tried to
do it. I called the dogs out there.
This is why Tyrell, this is why it's his favorite internet. So I let him use all his.
I've never heard this story before. I'm intrigued.
Story, man. This is good.
So I let him call the dogs out there. So I'm like, all right, the dog should be here in 15 minutes. City ain't but so big. I ain't think they got that many dogs. It was 2 hours after a while.
Oh, they just made you wait.
Yeah, you know what?
They just made you wait.
So I was like, you know what, damn, fuck it. Search it.
That's exactly why they made you
wait. Because it was already. They tried to wait you out.
Yeah, they did. They did. They definitely wait you out.
It was 3:30.
Only for them to find nothing.
Literally. I was like, see?
See, but they could have planted some shit, man. Don't trust them cops, man.
Well, that was Younger and Dumber. But I was just like, yo, this is 3:30. I have class in the morning. I have worked 4 hours at this event.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You definitely, because he was worked events, so events. Ooh, yeah.
I was exhausted. Ooh. I was tired. After a while, I was just like, I figured they called the dogs. They'll sniff. Nothing here. Okay, going by. I'm sorry that we inconvenienced you.
Oh, you're not going to get apologized, too.
So that's why I was like, but that was my all-time favorite story. Because I was like, wow.
And see, I feel like that's like the struggle of especially raising boys. Because as females, we're not going to get it like that.
We don't get it the same way.
Like, I got pulled over before my license was even changed in Anne Arundel County. And I told the officer, because I had did a U-turn at a light that you weren't supposed to do a U-turn in. I was like, oh, officer, I'm so sorry. I just moved here. I didn't see the sign because I have yet to figure out how to squeeze into the conversation that my husband's a cop. I don't know when that's supposed to go in. And so I can never
I'm going back home to my husband. He just got
my husband's a cop. What you guys say?
talking to my husband who's a cop. I'm sorry, sir. What would you say?
Exactly.
But I feel like for men, like y'all, because Richard had the same thing. Like when he was in college, he got pulled over because he was racing in fucking Greenbelt and got put on the side of the road in handcuffs because at the time he was in college and he had dreads and he's like 6'3". Like that's just what he looks like. And so I think like I tried to want to be hopeful in that, especially because of everything that is going on in this country, that more and more people who are not us. Like, we all know that this has been our reality forever, but people, white folks, are just now starting to open their eyes and be like, damn, like,
so this been going on?
This is what y'all deal with. And let's be for real, stuff isn't going to get better until those white folks are the ones who are like, you know, we need to change these things for people of color. And I'm hopeful that by the time that our kids are older, the world's not going to be perfect, but I do hope that it's better.
I
used to think that until, I forget, it was probably after my freshman year. I forgot who used to live in Upper Marlboro and was way out in the country part of Upper Marlboro.
Ryan?
No. This is...
Oh, I don't know.
This is old money, farm area Upper Marlboro.
Old money, okay.
So, and I was visiting them and whatever, got pulled over, and the officer that pulled me over, he was talking, he was like, where you come from, da da da. He was like, all right, oh, see a book bag. What's that logo, auntie? Oh, you went to one of those nigga schools. I was like,
oh.
Ooh, I was like, oh. Wait a minute.
I was like, I was not. That's
wait
the shot.
Wait a minute.
That's what.
Hey,
I
man.
I was not.
We got to start filing complaints. We got to start filing complaints
like,
here.
What? That is something that now, Tyrell, what you said is true. We actually do have to start doing things about it.
How you think I felt younger? I was like, whoa, I was not prepared for that, sir. Well, I have no recourse. I am literally at your mercy right now.
I would have been like, well, yes, sir. I did attend one of those institutions.
The point when someone says, oh, you attended a nigger school, we already know that you don't care about me.
Exactly. You already know your life is just...
That's why I was just... At that point, I was just like, let me go ahead and get out of here.
No, sir. Yep.
Right.
So I did want to ask you, Taro, because I know you have a daughter.
Yep.
And so my husband is, he has an older sister. They're 6 years apart. And one thing that I always heard my husband say, or my sister-in-law say, actually, is the difference in between how he was raised and how she was raised and the things that he was allowed to do that she was never be allowed to do. For example, my husband was big into go-go's back in the day. His mom would literally drop him off at the go-go, pick him up before she went to work. So at like 2 a.m, drop them back home and then go to work. Whereas I know for a fact, my sister-in-law, like as a female, we're not like, what do you mean? You only bad things happen after midnight. You
right. go-go. You can go to the go-go, but you better be home.
You gotta
by
be
midnight.
Home by midnight at the latest.
Just starts at midnight. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you don't need to go.
So how right. how do you plan on I guess handling things like that with your kids? Because I do think, and from my experiences with people who have siblings and brother sister relationship, the boys are always given so much more leeway than mm-hmm. than the daughters are.
Y'all unfair. Let's just be clear. Y'all are unfair to
I don't think we unfair. I think each child has their own kind of plight they got to deal with, you know? I had an older sister and I got more spankings than my sister. Like, my parents ain't beat my sister, but me.
Did you deserve them?
Maybe, but I'm sure she did some things too where she deserved them. They just handled it differently.
I was going to say, I think it's also not only that, I think it's also older sibling versus younger sibling, because my little brother was in a go-go band. I was not even allowed to listen to anything explicit music.
But like, this came up too, like when T.I. was talking about, he was on the Red Table Talk, oh, and about the difference with how he handles his daughter and his son. And it's the difference a lot where parents deal with their sons and their daughters, especially when it comes to things like sex. Like with your sons, you're going to have, I'm going to say this as a sentence and not as a question. You're going to have conversations with your sons that are like, oh, just wrap it up and be safe. But boys out here going to do what it do. Like, don't make a kid. Whereas if you have a daughter, it's going to be like, your legs don't open until Jesus comes down.
Yeah.
It's probably,
it didn't even occur to T.I. that the message, the people that he is trying to protect his daughter from is what he's raising his son to be.
Exactly. Well, and
that is a thing that I'm realizing.
Going back to that Me Too movement and consent.
Mm-hmm. That I'm realizing and trying to be like, all right,
if you don't want your kids to have sex, it should be like your kids. Like, your
right.
sons and your daughters. It shouldn't
right.
be because...
It shouldn't
because be. Your sons, because, you know, y'all's can, it's okay for y'all to be out here, and I'm gonna call it what it is. Boys can be out here hoeing out, but if girls do it, it's hoeing out. Like, if girls do it, we nasty,
no,
we
no,
out
no.
here.
Boys can rage,
you know,
and sow their wild oats and, you know, be
but
in
we
the
only
world.
Got, we only got one field and only one oat to sow. So.
We got one field, one oat, one flower. Everything that you talk about women or girls is like this one
delicate,
exclusive.
Like...
They are but a delicate flower, and once it is plucked, it dies.
I just want the same, your wife, they are somebody's daughter. And so you know what y'all was talking with them.
So that's what I said. I'm trying to make sure I do the right thing and be telling them, you know, tell them the truth. Be like, hey, that is somebody's daughter.
I
don't.
No, Tyrell,
I'm
going right. Tyrell, go ahead.
I'm going to try. I'm going to be like, hey, just be careful. You know, that is a person.
It's such a lie.
I said I'm going to try. I didn't say I was going to succeed.
Tyrell, what about you? Have you and your wife?
Have you thought about this at all? He's probably like, I'm not thinking about my daughter like this.
I haven't thought about it like that. But one thing I do think about with my daughter, and I treat her completely different than my son, is really just how I interact with her. Like, I don't raise my voice at her. I wouldn't hit her because I don't want her getting comfortable with the fact that a man could raise their voice at her
mm-hmm.
or hit her or put their hands on her mm-hmm. and things are cool, because that's not going down.
Yeah, I think what daughters see from their fathers is what they do expect from and not what they expect, but what they will tolerate
yeah.
from a man.
Right. So for me, every day, I'm trying to find ways of really trying to display an example of what I would want her to find in a man. Now, sometimes I'm like completely off base when I'm like busy running and doing so many errands and involved in so many things. And I come home and I only see her at night, and it's like, all right, I got to slow down and kind of reprioritize what I'm doing here, because I don't want her to get into a situation or think it's okay for her to have a man who's completely out working and doing everything. So having to find that balance, I think, is key. But for my son, you know, it's hard, because I want him to understand, like, dude, you got to work and shit is hard.
But he also got to come home.
But you also got to come home, you know?
The same of what you're teaching exactly. your daughter is the flip side of it. I think that's what fathers of both sexes forget, is that
Showing your son what to be, and also I remember like the in therapists have said, like, what, how you treat your significant other
or
your spouse or whoever is what your son will grow up and say, that's how I'm supposed to treat a woman or what I'm supposed to do. So,
I think it's just a dichotomy too, that we teach our sons acceptable behavior, what we quote unquote would find acceptable, but that what we wouldn't want our daughters to have in a man.
Right.
Like we teach our sons, like I said, it's okay for you to be out here and go do whatever and, you know, find, a, you know, have fun with girls and things like that. But we wouldn't want somebody doing that to our daughter. We don't want our daughter to be that girl. Like we teach our, like what you're, exactly what you're saying. You want your daughter to know that, you know, when she gets a man at some point that he's going to be home and make time for her. But at the same time, you're also telling your son, we'll be out here working and hustle hard.
You gotta
hard.
Go get it. Exactly. Yeah. Hustle and it's hard. Like,
you stay out of this house and don't you come home until you make some money.
Yeah.
And daughter, I want you to make sure that that man comes home every night.
Exactly. Like, that's the battle that I have every day. It's like,
Well, it was also what I was thinking about, because what we said earlier about emotions, we wasn't raised to really express our emotions. But then I think about it, some dudes that were a little bit more in tune to their emotions, they wasn't getting dates neither. They wasn't being looked at. They was like, why is he crying at this moment?
But the other thing is that
but they are the ones growing up who, I think also women are also, we were taught like, don't fuck with them dudes because they're, they're children. Yeah. But now as adults, we're like, I wish I had a dude who could like express
themselves. We also have to remember that we did grow up in a time before the PC like culture of being okay to be a metrosexual or just in touch with your feelings, because back then things like that were referred to as homosexual. You were gay. Yeah, you were gay. Like, no, like that's, what? Like, that, why are you crying? What do you mean you feel you hurt my feelings? What?
But no, that's why I say this. Right. It's that whole dichotomy of trying to, all right, how do I do this? It's that thin line and I'm trying to figure it out and everything.
I think what it always boils down to, and what the whole podcast is about half the time whenever we talk about kids, is we don't know what the fuck we doing.
Like, exactly. You winging it.
We really just want them to, at the end of the day, I don't want my child to have to go to jail. I want him to be smart. I want him to be able to be successful. And I want him to know how to be respectful within limits, because sometimes you have to be disrespectful and just know when those times come.
So how's that any different than I said? That's true. Anything I said, I'm going to keep my daughter off the pole. And keep my son off the corner.
Because let me tell you something. If your daughter, if your fictional daughter that we may have finds a deal, because that is another thing that our society has said. We used to think that when you had, when you were on the pole, like, oh my gosh, you had daddy issues.
Yeah,
and there was
some girls
wrong.
Be making money.
But now,
they be making money,
look
man.
At Cardi P. Cardi.
You're like, now, it's like, yeah, I was a stripper. I did what I needed to do. And now I'm a millionaire.
And college is
like,
free.
Ugh.
And I paid for everything. And that was 5 years of my life that I probably wasn't. Like, it kind of sucked, but I liked it. But now I'm Cardi B and I'm rich.
We knew girls who stripped through high school. I mean, through college. Yeah, we knew some girls who stripped. We knew some girls who did more than strip through college.
But it also goes back to, again, like the dichotomy of what I was saying. You don't want your girl to be on the pole, but you would have no problem if your son was in the club watching her.
Well, that goes into A.
If
he wants to spend his money.
That's facts.
No. Listen.
Speaking facts.
If he wants to spend his money doing that, that is fine. What he will not be doing is spending my money doing that. That's a whole different thing.
This is also what he says in terms of raising of where he's going to allow his child to apply to school.
No. He can apply to anywhere.
Yeah, you see this.
He just can't go.
He can't go
to
with my money.
Oh, with your money. Okay.
He, like I said, there's certain organizations he can join.
I'm with it.
He can't just join it with my money.
Exactly. There's no other choice. A&T or nothing. Cap Alpha Psi or nothing.
It's like a bank. You can't make certain decisions without the bank. The bank says, well, we're not going to approve that.
Like, I'm over here like, he's like, so you want your child, so he has to go to A&T. He does not have to, but he does have to apply. So
that's
I'm,
how
I'm
cults
on,
starts. Look, that's how cults
I
start.
Said that if
we
you
got
get
a cult over here.
I don't care. As long as you get a scholarship to wherever.
That's where you're going. That is where you're going.
I want you to get a scholarship, sweetie, that you can go to whatever school.
I'm,
and hopefully we will instill in you all of the love and everything.
Well, we talked about this. We talked about this in our other episode.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue the scholarship route. So if they getting money from somewhere else,
I'm not going to fight them on that.
At the end of the day, you get a degree, sweetie, get a degree.
But if you're going to use my money, I get to dictate the rules, because that's what the bank does. That's life.
Well, I just want to thank both of you guys for being on the show. We definitely Definitely appreciate it. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we will be doing a part two where Sheree and I will talk about how we feel as women raising Black and brown sons in this country, especially with everything that's going on in the world. So again, thank you so much for being on the show. You can always rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We are on all major podcast platforms: Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, Alexa. We're on Pandora, iHeartRadio, all of that good stuff. Make sure that you rate and review, because that is what helps us out the most. You can always email us if you want to tell us how you feel about raising your son in this country, whether you're a guy or if how you hear your husband talk about raising his child or your partner, whoever he is, whatever. You can email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram. We're at @swirlandsippodcast. I always mess that up. It's because I just have the reel in my head. You can follow us on Instagram @swirlandsippodcast. And as always, make sure you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode. Bye.